אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. 341 soldiers have been confirmed killed since October 7th. This is on top of the more than 1,200 civilians killed, most of them on the first day of the war when 3,000 Hamas terrorists entered the country from Gaza. The war this week was on four physical fronts. The major arena of war is inside the Gaza Strip. The second is on the northern border and in southern Lebanon. Israel is also fighting in isolated battles against Hamas supporters in the West Bank. And Israel also has to respond to long-range missiles and sent from Houthi militants in Yemen and remain on high alert. The fifth front has been the battle to keep support in the international arena. Despite the IDF beginning limited ground operations inside the northern Gaza Strip and claiming successes in destroying hundreds of Hamas strongholds, including tunnels, missile launching sites and observation posts, Hamas continues to fire rockets at Israel, which have caused significant damage in multiple sites across the country. Several people have been injured and at least three people, including a 9-year-old girl who died of a heart attack, have died as a result of the rockets. The worst affected cities from rockets include Sderot, where the population has been evacuated but houses and schools have been directly hit, Ashkelon, where many houses, roads and businesses have been hit, with miraculously few personal injuries, Rishon LeZion and the wider Tel Aviv area. Rockets from Gaza continue to bombard the evacuated communities close to Gaza and areas in the Negev. They have reached the Haifa area on two occasions. Hezbollah has sent dozens of rockets into northern Israel, causing damage and injuries in Kiryat Shmoneh, which, like other communities along the border, has been largely evacuated, and killing at least one soldier and one foreign worker in other attacks. The IDF has sent airstrikes at several Hezbollah targets. Hamas is also active operatives in Lebanon and has claimed responsibility for some of the attacks in northern Israel. Rockets from Yemen have been diverted, the first by the US Navy in the Red Sea and the second by Israel's Arrow defense system. Around 200,000 Israelis have been evacuated from the north and the south of the country. Volunteers have provided many of their basic needs, including clothing, especially to those who were forced to flee on October 7th. The state moved entire communities to hotels, but the state provided accommodation is inadequate for the numbers. And last week, the government announced an improved plan by which those who took the initiative to find their own accommodation will receive a stipend. People recognized as evacuees by the Defense Ministry's National Emergency Authority are divided into three categories. Residents living within 5 kilometers of the border with Lebanon, those who live within 4 kilometers of the border with Gaza, and those who live 4 to 7 kilometers from the Gaza border. Officially, funding for the third group ended on Thursday, but it is clear that Sderot, which falls into this category, is still unsafe and the Treasury will need to continue to fund evacuees. 79,000 people who fall in the first two categories are eligible for government-provided accommodation. However, if they choose not to stay at a government-proclaimed facility, they're now able to receive a stipend to cover the costs. The plan is meant to incentivize people with families or homes outside the danger area to move there, thus freeing up accommodation for civilians with fewer options. The evacuation has cost the Treasury approximately 400 million shekels so far. 242 people have been confirmed as being held hostage in Gaza. 4 people, a mother and daughter and 2 older women, have been released by Hamas. And on Monday night, the IDF rescued 19-year-old Ori Magidish, a soldier who was able to provide excellent intelligence on the events of October 7th. Her rescue brought a temporary feeling of hope to other families who were demanding that the IDF prioritize the rescue of hostages above other political or military objectives. Last night, parents and thousands of supporters gathered in protest outside the Kiryat in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Huldai promised that the whole country was behind the families. It was the anniversary of the assassination of Prime Minister Rabin, when in normal years there would be a memorial service where today there are demonstrations for the hostages. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken made his third visit to the region since October 7th this week. He continued to emphasize Israel's right to defend herself, while also reiterating America's commitment to a two-state solution to the Israel-Palestinian conflict. In addition to meeting with Israeli leaders, he met with the Palestinian Authority chairman and leaders in Jordan and Lebanon. In Lebanon, he thanked the government for keeping the country out of the conflict and said that he believed Hezbollah was not planning to escalate its involvement. Israel remains on high alert. In the international arena, Israel has demanded that the UN condemn the massacre of October 7th and the taking of hostages, indisputably breaches of international law. Israel also has been asking the International Red Cross to insist on seeing the hostages, who include 30 children, many without their parents. Although most European countries have supported Israel's war aims of removing Hamas from Gaza entirely and rescuing the hostages, they've also expressed concern for the number of Gazan citizens in the thousands who've lost their lives as a result of Israeli bombardment of Hamas sites. The UN General Assembly last week adopted an Arab-drafted resolution calling for a humanitarian truce in Gaza after rejecting a Canadian amendment that would have condemned the October 7th terrorist attacks by Hamas and demanded immediate release of the hostages taken by Hamas. Israel's UN ambassador, Gilad Erdan, called it a day that will go down in infamy. The resolution was adopted by a vote of 120-14 with 45 abstentions. The resolution failed to condemn Hamas for its October 7th massacre of 1,400 Israelis or for its abduction of hostages, including children and babies, or even mention the word Hamas. The resolution also failed to recognize Israel's right to defend itself and its citizens against terrorism. Over the objections of the families of the hostages, Israel has allowed the entry of hundreds of trucks of humanitarian aid into Gaza in the past week through the Egyptian crossing. Under the agreement brokered by Egypt, Qatar and the US, Israel has the right to inspect the shipments entering the strip. It has found and confiscated aerators for Hamas tunnels hidden amongst boxes of biscuits. Israel provided to the international community proof that Hamas's primary tunnel system, which houses weapons, manufacturing material, among other things, is situated under Shifa Hospital, the strip's largest. It has also provided proof that Hamas has over 500,000 liters of fuel stored there, while the hospital itself is claiming it's running out of fuel to function. Israel has insisted that the humanitarian aid enter southern Gaza as part of its campaign to move civilians from the north as it increases its military activity there. Hamas has actively turned back civilians trying to flee south, with some reports saying that they have killed some on the road. More evidence of what went on October 7th has been released. Journalists and the MKs were shown a compilation of videos taken from the phones of perpetrators and victims. The IDF has also released maps and other instructions that the terrorists were carrying. Meanwhile, the spirit of volunteerism in Israel has reached new heights. Two examples. Residents of the Golan coming to the dangerous south to harvest crops and others from the center of the country entering the danger zone in order to milk the cows. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.